Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's Darren Donick and Chase. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Elijah Campbell hanging out with you today. Darren McFarland on vacation. He'll be back on Monday. Then I'll be on vacation as we get ready for Thanksgiving. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Willie, what's up?
Hello, Chase. Friday action. It seems like this week has gone by fast. I don't know why. I was concerned at the start of the week that this would be a slow week, but it's not been that way.
No, it has flown by. And, you know, I was sitting there last night watching the Thursday night game, a pretty good one between the Seahawks and the Cardinals, and I'm thinking, man, it's already Thursday and tomorrow's Friday. Yesterday just felt kind of slow. Even after the show, it kind of dragged a little bit, but here we are. We made it, and we got a great show for you. We'll get you ready for the Titans and the Ravens coming up. Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com, will join us in our next segment. We'll talk to Blake Topmeyer, who has broken a lot of news as of late in Knoxville. He's the beat writer for the Knoxville News Sentinel, so we'll get just kind of his thoughts on everything that's come out with the Vols and what the latest is there. And then Tyson Brio will join us, Lee Sterling, plus the regulars. You just made the list, and Pick Six. And I know that Pick Six is kind of a team effort. You've been working on that some this morning, so looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. We are ready. We are ready. As you know, Chase, I had to take over duties of the commissioner late in the season last year when Darren just hit a fatigue factor, didn't want to extend the season. I tried to keep the enthusiasm up and did so. So I'm more than capable, and I got the consulting of you guys, and so I think we have a very good Pick Six. We have not given this to Darren yet, but I think he will approve. I think he'll be excited about it. So that's coming up at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, looking forward to that. So, and we've had a lot of participation out of all of you and our friends with the Predators. So it's been fun this year. But I mentioned the game last night. Seattle wins at 28-21. And it felt like for a while, I mean, Seattle wasn't necessarily in control. They were winning, but Arizona just couldn't quite get things going the way that they usually could. That changed in the second half. It got close, but ultimately Seattle was able to hold on. It wasn't quite the thriller that we saw a few weeks ago, but a pretty good game nonetheless.
Yeah, it was a good game, and I think what you see is teams working very, very hard to try to cover their weaknesses. Seattle, we know the issue has been defense, and I thought they did a reasonable job last night. You know, they contained that Cardinal offense enough, and it got pretty hairy at the end, for sure. It looked like it might go to OT, but, you know, they made some big plays. They got the safety at the key time, right? They got to Kyler Murray with the big sack by Carlos Dunlap. So just enough D, and I think that's going to be what we're hoping for the Titans, right? Just enough D.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you bring up Carlos Dunlap. That was a big acquisition for them, and he really made his presence known last night. So I think, and made those key plays for Seattle. He looks for a defense that has struggled. He looks to be a bright spot for them, as they're actually showing it on NFL Network right now, of Carlos Dunlap and Pete Carroll hugging after that big play at the end. So the NFC West continues to be the most entertaining division out of any of them in football right now. And so the Cardinals and the Seahawks split on the year as the Seahawks move to 7-3. And so that's got to help them in our power rankings that we talked about the other day.
I feel good about my power rankings because I had Seattle the highest of those three teams. And we discussed it a couple days ago when we did it. I think it's a good idea by Darren, the top 10 each week, trying to figure out where everybody slots. And we know every year it's hard for a division to have three teams make the playoffs. It does happen sometimes, but it's tough, right? Because you play each other. And as we noted yesterday, the Rams and the Cardinals, I think I got that right, the Rams and the Cardinals still have to play twice. So that That was a big, big win for the Seahawks there. So now I'd have to say they have the inside track. But those are all quality teams for sure. Yeah. I wonder if by the end of the year that the 49ers, if they'll get any healthier. You know, like sometimes we're just on a bad track. You don't try to bring guys back. Like, for example, George Kittle. If they're out of the race, is there any really reason to bring him back? But if they start getting healthy bodies back and they get close to 500 and maybe they can play some meaningful games, maybe the NFL decides to expand, for example, the field to 8, you know, do they get healthy enough to where they could beat somebody late in the season? Or do the wheels fall off and they don't win another game? I can see it more likely going that way. But you see what I'm saying. Like, by the end of the year, some of these games that right now you're not sure about, teams can look very different with where they sit in about a month from now as opposed to right now.
Yeah, and I think that division is going to end up with, I mean, it's at least going to be the Cardinals, the Seahawks, and the Rams getting in, I think. I mean, I know a lot can change between now and the end of the season, but it feels that way. And like you said with the 49ers, I mean, it's just they had key injuries at bad times and otherwise,
yeah.
I mean, they're a better team than their record shows, you know, when healthy. But now you just sent an interesting article that Gentry Estes has put out from the Tennessean about Dean Pease.
I don't know. I don't know how serious this could get, but of course, Dean Pease is 71 years old. But the article written by Gentry Estes from the Tennessean is Dean Pease sounds like he wants to return to coaching. Now, you know, I guess you could interpret that a number of different ways, but here's how it starts, and then you can go from there. He had plans. He and his wife wanted to travel in retirement, maybe spend time in Europe, and COVID took care of that. That's how it sort of starts. So sitting at home all the time doing puzzles and watching football and going out and playing golf, that wasn't my idea of what retirement was going to be. As we said, he's 71 years old. They've already talked him out of retirement one time, and this is supposed to be for real. But he admits, I miss it. I miss it a lot. If the right situation came along, I would certainly consider it. I'll put it that way. I don't know that I'd do it. I'm not saying that I wouldn't consider it. So there you go.
If you're Mike Vrabel.
I don't know if this is a great time to have that come out.
Right.
Because, you know, he's been doing interviews, right? He's been present and weighing in on the current Titans situation.
Well, and he's been at games.
So why not? He's gone and attended some games. It kind of makes you wonder if it's that far, and if they want him, why not just go ahead and bring him in there?
Right. I mean, because you know that this is going to come up.
You're going to hear that, yeah.
Sure. This is going to come up today, probably. During Mike Vrabel's media availability, somebody's going to ask it, whether it's Gentry or somebody else.
And I'm sure that's probably the last thing that Mike Vrabel wants to talk about today.
Right. But if you're him and Dean, you know, and you pick up the phone and go, hey, what is this? Or, you know, do you want to come back? And Dean's like, I don't want to be the defensive coordinator, but I'll come hang out and advise. I mean, don't you do that? Isn't it pretty obvious that they need something like that on that side of the ball?
You know, it's a really interesting thing. He's sitting there not doing anything. I don't know if this is kind of a, you know, for all we know, maybe they're talking anyway. Maybe Dean Pease is talking to Mike Vrabel anyway and consulting. So maybe in a way it's already happening. And it wouldn't be even that much of a stretch to just say, well, why don't you just come on in here? You know. You're halfway here anyway. You're engaged on some level. It's just an interesting thought that I didn't consider a few weeks ago, but I always did find it curious that he was present. He was weighing in. Like I think some people when they retire, they intentionally don't want to be any focus of attention publicly, right? They just want to be away because they know that it only creates a distraction in some ways, but. You can tell from his words, it just seems like he kind of wants to be in there.
Right.
So I don't know if this is a next year thing or if this is a, you know, let's call the ace reliever out of the bullpen. You know, let's bring him back. It'd be a heck of a story.
It would be. It would be.
They do not have a defensive coordinator, as we've all known.
They don't. But, I mean, if they, you know, if he's like, sure, I'll come back, I'll do one more year. You know, how many times is it one more time if Dean Pease comes out of retirement again?
Well, how long did his predecessor last, Dick LeBeau?
Yeah,
he coached for a long time.
I know. And the only reason he really retired is because they changed coaching staff.
Right.
I mean, that was really the only reason he hung it up. I don't think that he was necessarily thinking, yep, this is it. So,
I think what you have to avoid if you're Mike Vrabel is, and I'm sure we'll get into this with Terry, is you just don't want the other coaches sitting around going, well, wait a minute. You know, what's this all about? I hope they just weren't blindsided by this and view it. Because you can view it a lot of different ways. You could take it for what it is on the surface and just say, hey, here's a guy that loves coaching and misses football, and he's not the first person to retire and say, boy, I really miss what I was doing. And you could also, you know, interpret it as a kind of a plea. Bring me back. You know,
right.
And, you know, you can take that a couple of ways. If you're sitting there in Shane Bowen's shoes or anybody that's putting together that game plan and not succeeding right now, it's kind of like, well, you don't think we're doing a good enough job. I love Coach Pease, but we're the guys now. You know, I just hope this isn't affecting the team in a negative way.
Right, right. And
I'm sure that's the last thing Dean Pease wants, too.
Sure. He wouldn't want to do that either. So, I think that it would be handled the way that it should be. But it's certainly an interesting read by Gentry Estes of the Tennessean that perhaps Dean Pease might want to coach again. So,
Dean Pease has been around long enough. He knows when he says stuff like that, he knows exactly the reaction he's
going to
get. And if he didn't, then that was not.
And if
good.
Vrabel didn't know, you know that he got a call like, Dean, what are you doing? What are you doing to me?
Oh, I got the Ravens this week. I will guarantee you from the PR briefing this morning, that was number one on the list. If Mike Vrabel was not aware of this interview, he certainly.
He is now.
Yeah, he's got to be ready for this now.
Well, we will ask Terry McCormick his thoughts on this for sure and much more with the Titans and Ravens when we come back. Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com, will join the show. It's the Friday edition of Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Elijah Campbell back at the WholesaleLink Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. And we say hello to Terry McCormick of TitanInsider.com. Terry, what's up?
Oh, not much. Just waiting for Sunday, I guess.
I know. Good game last night to kind of wet the whistle and then get ready for Titans and Ravens on Sunday. So I want to start with this article that Willie and I were just talking about, Gentry Estes of the Tennessean put out there. He's talked to Dean Pease, and Dean Pease maybe hasn't ruled out a potential return to coaching if it's the right fit. I know he's in Nashville. He's been at games. He's talked about the Titans this year. You have to wonder if Mike Vrabel and Dean Pease have had a conversation at some point, but what do you make of this? You think that perhaps Dean Pease could come back at some point?
Well, I mean, to me, it would kind of be a long shot because, you know, he retired and walked away. I think he probably wasn't anticipating the coronavirus to hit and scuttle a lot of his travel plans and the things that he wanted to do and, you know, spend the rest of his life, you know, engaging in. So who knows? I mean, maybe, you know, if Vrabel is desperate and certainly the Titans defense is, you know, not looking good, for the most part this year, maybe he would bring Dean Pease back in a consulting role or an advisory role. I don't think that would be the worst thing in the world. But it is interesting that it comes up. And you know, I'd say a lot of this, though, is probably just on what Mike Vrabel would want to do in terms of going forward if he wants to continue to be the defensive coordinator along with Shane Bowen and kind of share that role, or if he thinks, you know, comes back and thinks that maybe that was the wrong move and that he needs someone really to be the authority on defense and to be the guy that oversees everything. And in a pinch, Dean Pease would probably be obviously the best choice he could make, you know, because most everybody, not all of them, but most everybody on the defensive staff is already familiar with his work and how he operates.
As we get ready for the game on Sunday, we obviously, this time of year especially, you keep up with the injury report to see, okay, who's banged up, who's been practicing, who hasn't. With Jadeveon Clowney and his situation, he played last week, but he hasn't practiced. Is it safe to say that that's probably going to be the plan with him moving forward, of just preserving him for game day?
Sure looks that way, because they held him out of the Bears game, and you know, because they had a short rest week game coming up with the Colts 4 days later. So I think that when you look back on that, they probably considered the Colts game the more important of the two. Obviously didn't work out for a win, but Jadeveon Clowney is a guy that looks like they've kind of put him on a schedule of rest throughout the week and then get him ready for game days on Sunday. You know, sort of like, I guess, similar to what they've been doing with A.J. Brown, giving him a day off each week, usually on Thursdays, to rest his injured knee that he suffered early in the year and missed a couple of games with.
Yeah, and then Adoree Jackson, the other one that everyone is wondering about, still has not returned to practice. And we talked to you, you know, a few weeks ago about this, and, you know, was it a setback? Now he's on the active roster. I mean, in your mind, and I know Mike Vrabel continues to be mum about it, when does a decision need to be made, or are they just going to keep doing this week to week until maybe he's available to play?
Well, the fact that they put him on the active roster tells me that they expect him to be back at some point, because if they didn't, then they would have just put him on injured reserve, shut him down for the year. So who knows? Could be next week, could be 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now. But at some point, you know, you're not getting a lot of return and he's taking up a roster spot. Now, granted, you know, if you could get him back, it would be a nice boost for the secondary. But it sure seems to me like that the speculation that he had some sort of setback must be accurate, because when you think about it, I was initially told that he had about a 4 to 6 week injury. They brought him back after about 6 weeks or so, and that's when they designated him for return and started working and, you know, practicing, and it looked for all the world like he was going to be back pretty soon. But then all of a sudden he disappeared from practice again, and he hasn't been spotted in 2 or 3 weeks. So that leads me to think that the speculation about a setback is probably an accurate report.
With the struggles that Baltimore has had offensively lately, whether it's the league figuring out Greg Roman's scheme and Lamar Jackson specifically, do you still feel like, because of the success the Titans had last year, that this is a good matchup for them defensively to maybe get some things righted on that side of the ball?
Maybe. I mean, you know, the one thing, you know, with Lamar Jackson, you know, you want to make him stand in the pocket, throw the football. You don't want that guy getting out on the edge, running on design runs. You don't want him scrambling any more than you have to. Maybe that plays right in the Titans' hands, because their pass rush has been lousy for most of the year, so they probably won't get in there and, you know, leave a seam open for him to run out and escape out the back door and run for 20 yards. So it might actually work to their advantage. Who knows? But I think, you know, given what they did last year and containing him, and I think the big key to me on the other side is you got to get a lead. You got to play from ahead. Lamar Jackson's a completely different quarterback when he has to bring a team from behind. I think he only has one fourth quarter comeback in his career, if I'm right. Now, granted, he's only been starting for about 2.5 seasons, but still, you know, that's a fairly significant number when you look at how close NFL games are week to week. And he's only credited by Pro Football Reference with one fourth quarter comeback win in his career. So you want to get ahead. You want your offense to control the game, control the clock. The Titans have not been a good time of possession team this year, but I think this ball game is one where they're going to need about 32, 33 minutes time of possession and Derrick Henry running the football, you know, 25, 30 times and going over 100 yards, and the Titans' offense doing the defense a favor by keeping Jackson on the sidelines and making him one-dimensional if he has to play from behind.
Terry McCormick is with us. And, Terry, I know that especially in this day and age where you can't really watch practice, sometimes it's easy to misinterpret what you see on the injury report day to day, and you know, by Sunday things tend to work themselves out. But I'm concerned about Roger Saffold, because we saw what happened to him. He's had the two separate injuries the last two games, and the last one in particular where he kind of got rolled up and his ankle got turned. He has not been able to practice so far, so I'm just figuring even if he's able to play, he's not going to be anywhere close to 100% with two different things he's dealing with. So that's got to be a big concern.
Yeah, it really does. I think, you know, when you look at how beat up this offensive line has become, you know, you've got Dennis Kelly on a short regimen. He's been getting, I think he got Wednesday or was limited Wednesday and off yesterday. You got Saffold, as you mentioned, dealing with a couple of different things. This ankle injury, certainly, if he can give them something today at practice, I think that would be a sign that he's trending in the right direction. But certainly, he's a guy that they need out there. You got Ben Jones, who's dealing with a little bit of a knee injury. He was out for a little while the other night and then came back. So, and then, of course, you've already lost Taylor Lewan for the season with a torn ACL. So the offensive line is starting to become a concern just because of injuries. And this is the time of year where they really need to step up and be counted and be something that the Titans can depend upon, not only in pass protection, but just in opening holes for Derrick Henry.
Yeah, this is around the time you start, you know, the last couple of years, it's really rounded into form, and they've started to get great offensive line play. So it's a little troubling to see all these guys not able to practice. And speaking of that, the top three wide receivers did not practice. And A.J. Brown, who we know had a knee issue earlier in the season, practiced on Wednesday and did not practice yesterday. What's going on there?
Well, they've been giving him Thursdays off kind of to rest that knee. He usually does not appear on the injury report at the start of the week. It goes through full work on Wednesday. Then they've been giving him Thursday to rest, and he comes back and practices on Friday. That's kind of been the norm, except for the Thursday night game that they had against the Colts, obviously. But when they're on a normal Sunday week, that's kind of what they've been doing with him for about the last 3 to 4 games. So I don't think there's a real concern there. In terms of Adam Humphries, I don't think they will have him. He's not been cleared from the concussion protocol. And even if he was cleared from the concussion protocol today, I don't know that that would be enough time to get him worked back in. So you're going to need some help from bottom of the roster receivers like Cameron Batson and Khalif Raymond to help out in that slot receiver spot. And then with Corey Davis, he missed on Wednesday, and it was said not to be injury-related. Now, I don't have any facts to base this on, but it may have been that he was, you know, returning from maybe being with family and the memorial service over the lost brother. So that would be my assumption on that as to why he was not there at practice on Wednesday. So, but he practiced fully yesterday, and I think he's good to go.
With that in mind, you mentioned, they've got Batson and, of course, Khalif Raymond, who made the brilliant play in the playoff game last year. But early in the season, he was doing the same thing that he did in that game, and he was making that key long reception to where he's stretching the defense and he's setting other things up. We haven't seen that the last few weeks. Why do you think he has not been able to fit that role quite the way it was looking? It looked like it was settling in perfect for him, but he hasn't kind of been in the mix recently.
Yeah, they haven't really been throwing his way a whole lot. And, you know, he hasn't even been on the field when they've had their full complement of receivers, except for just a handful of snaps. I think, you know, one of those things is, you know, since Taylor Lewan went down, you know, obviously if you're going with those deeper routes, it takes more time for those to develop. And, you want to have your offensive line protecting. You know, Ryan Tannehill's had to hurry some throws and get the ball out of his hands quicker. So that may be a factor in why they haven't called those deep shots to Khalif Raymond. And also the fact that, they have been relying a lot more just on their big three guys, which is, A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, and Jonnu Smith. Those seem to be the guys who get the bulk of the of the targets in the passing game here in the last few weeks.
Last thing for you, Terry, we focus a lot here in Nashville on the Titans' injuries, but of course, as we know, league-wide, every team has got some degree of injuries, and the Ravens are no exception. Give me a couple of things that you're looking for. I know they lost the tight end in their game against the Patriots, who's a key blocker for them, and Boyle. And Calais Campbell, of course, in the defensive line is another area that I think they certainly were suffering from on Sunday in the loss to the Patriots.
Yeah, Calais Campbell, and then also there's a big question as to whether or not Brandon Williams, who's their big nose tackle, whenever you play the Ravens, they always have had that space-eating nose tackle, whether it was Tony Siragusa or Ted Washington or, now Brandon Williams. They've always had that guy.
Yeah, Lodi Naga. Yeah.
Really been good at occupying, two blockers on the interior. So if they don't have Brandon Williams, then that should be a sign that the Titans can run between the tackles with Derrick Henry and have some room to operate in there. So they do have some injury concerns, just like the Titans do. It's going to be interesting to see which team makes the better adjustment in dealing with overcoming that.
He's Terry McCormick of TitanInsider.com. Terry, appreciate it as always, and we'll do it again soon. Should be a good game.
All right, thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Terry McCormick, follow his work at TitanInsider.com. When we come back, Willie, I'm gonna throw this at you, and I'm going to throw this at the people. 615-737-1025.
You're throw something at the people?
Well, a question. I'm going to throw a question.
Well, how's your arm?
It's good. It's not bad. Okay. It's not bad.
You got enough on it to get it to the people?
I think I can get it to the people.
Okay.
615-737-1025, our phone or text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What is something that you feel absolutely great about going into this game against the Ravens? And then what is your biggest concern? And don't call in and say the defense. I mean something specific. Something specific that you feel really good about and you feel really bad about. We'll discuss that when we come back. Darren Donican Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Darren Donican Chase here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint, smoother than smooth. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Elijah Campbell back at the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, talking a little Titans and Ravens. We'll head to Knoxville coming up at the top of the next hour. Blake Topmeyer covers the Vols for the Knoxville News Sentinel.
Got going on there. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big news coming out of there. Yeah, I mean, which we should, I guess we should go ahead and mention that, but coming out that Philip Fulmer has tested positive for COVID-19.
Yeah, fortunately, he says asymptomatic, so he's working, and he's working remotely. But still, concerning. It's just another thing that is, I guess, emblematic or symptomatic of what we're going through, right? Just the
sure.
longer we go, the case numbers hit new records every day, and there's just more and more chance that people you know or people – that you follow are going to be affected by it.
Yep. It's just one of those weird things that you just can't figure out. Because like we've said, we've been saying this since March, you could go to the grocery store to pick up things that you need and you come back with it. You just don't know.
You could.
And
yeah.
So, I mean, it's certainly, certainly very different. But so we're asking the question about something you feel really confident about this game against the Ravens. And something that concerns you, and I mean something specific, not just, can the defense stop Lamar Jackson? Is it a specific part of the defense? 615-737-1025. But, Willie, I also know that you have some numbers from your friends at Football Outsiders that can help kind of set the stage with this matchup.
Yeah, I would say that the most important thing to look at for the Football Outsiders, to me, and it's not the first time I've said this week, but the special teams difference in the two teams is my biggest concern. In talking to all the people we've talked to, and let's just go down the list, Bernard Pollard, Tim Hasselbeck, Floyd Reese, I'm trying to think of others that we've talked to.
Well, we had Trent Dilfer on the morning show.
Trent Dilfer on the morning show. you know, there's some matchups that could work here for the Titans. You know, they're a pretty sizable underdog, but Gary Stein comes to mind too, giving us the Ravens' perspective. The Ravens are a little, I don't want to say shaken, right? But their swagger is a little bit down from where it's been, right? They're still a really good team, and they have a very easy schedule down the stretch, and they're going to be in the mix here. But I think there's a lot of talk of, are they quite as good as they were last year? What's going on? They're not quite as good as they were last year. So their confidence is a little down, just like the Titans is. But I think there's some stuff, as we've talked about, there's a reason to believe you could run against the Ravens defense, because maybe they got some key injuries there. And maybe the Titans defense and their weaknesses maybe won't show up as much against the Ravens offense. But these are all theories. But one thing that is something that the Ravens can lean on, they have the number two, according to Football Outsiders, special teams unit in the game. And we're talking about kickoff return, we're talking about punt return, we're talking about punt coverage. They obviously have the best kicker in the game. I don't know if I've ever seen Justin Tucker miss a kick. Maybe I've seen him miss one. He's unbelievable. He's just money. And we know it's a gigantic concern for the Titans. It's not the sexy thing to look at, but I'm worried about that. You know, you could play a pretty good game. You could get a good effort from your defense. Your offense could do some things, but you could lose the game on special teams. That's sort of what happened against the Colts, another team that has very good special teams. So they've got to get it fixed, and I'm not sure they have.
Right.
There's still major question marks, right? I know they're trying. They're tinkering with stuff, and I guess as we sit here, there's no reason to believe they're going to change kickers. So Guskowski,
it doesn't appear that way.
It appears that Guskowski is going to, you know, the first time he trots out there to make a key kick, you're going to be wondering, you know, what's going to happen here? You know, they've put faith in the punter. Let's see if they do better. Let's see if they protect him better. There's just all kinds of layers to the issues in special teams. The Titans are 31st out of 32. Somehow the Chargers have worse special teams than the Titans. I guess I haven't watched the Chargers enough to know where they go wrong there and how that could possibly be, but the Titans are 31st.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a very interesting matchup, and you know, special teams is going to be one that we're going to have to pay attention to with the Titans, and it's not just the kicking and the punting. I mean, it's coverage, it's the whole unit, like you were saying, but something that stood out to me this week and all the people that we've talked to and then listening to other shows as well on our station is that, you know, I started the week off asking about Greg Roman. Like, hey, is he going to be one of the guys mentioned as a potential head coaching candidate? But the more people you talk to point out that you get a really good offensive scheme for the first season, like we saw last year or the first couple of years. I mean, Lamar Jackson was the MVP and really, really stood out, just like we saw in San Francisco with Colin Kaepernick and that run that they made, ironically, against the Ravens and lost in the Super Bowl. And then things kind of tail off, and so the shine kind of wears off on Greg Roman. And so the more that I've heard that and I've, you know, you pull up the numbers and you see it and you go, huh, you feel better about some of the matchups that even though the Titans have struggled with the pass rush, they've struggled in the secondary, you know, they've had their problems on defense. I do feel like that this matchup could work for them of being able to get some of those key stops. Are they going to completely keep Lamar and company out of the end zone? Probably not, but I think they're going to be able to at least contain them enough that could stay in this game. And then if the Titans offense can do enough, they can win it. But I feel better about that matchup than I did at the start of the week.
Yeah, I do too, but it's all theory. The other thing I've been reading from the Baltimore perspective, Nick Boyle, a key weapon for them. We were talking about this a lot yesterday, Chase, how the Ravens use their tight ends. Oftentimes they use three tight ends. They run it right at you. But if you overstack and feel like, okay, we put bigger guys in there, then they're good enough to go out and burn you with a passing attack. And that hasn't happened as much, and now they've lost their best blocker of the three. I wonder if this sort of forces them to change a little bit on how they were going about things, because that's a double-edged sword too. Getting them more out of their comfort zone. You heard Trent Dilfer use the word, well, they just need to do what they do and do it better, even though teams are figuring them out some. I saw Lamar Jackson do an interview with Rich Eisen, and he said other teams are literally calling out the plays that we're running. So it's not like they were trying to fool you before, right? There's a lot of misdirection and stuff, but, you know, I think teams have figured it out to a point. Lamar Jackson is saying, you know, we've had to adjust at halftime because teams are knowing exactly what we're doing. So when you lose a key man like Boyle, who is a great blocker, it's going to force them into some different personnel moves. So what does that end up doing? So I think some of the things that Baltimore is dealing with offensively are the same things that Tennessee is dealing with defensively. So who can make the adjustment? Who can overcome the weaknesses more in this game? But I'm with you. Overall, I have a little bit better feeling about slowing down the Ravens' offense than you would have a few weeks ago when you're saying, how in the world would they stop that team?
Oh, I know. But, I mean, you know, even with this group that they have, I just – there's this feeling of, okay, maybe this is where it kind of starts over for the Titans again, that they found so much magic coming off the win against New England. They go to Baltimore. They beat Baltimore like they did. You know, maybe this is kind of where they can right the ship, so to speak, because it's not just the Colts game that concerns people. It's the fact that they've lost three out of the last four. They had a bad one, you know, as we know, against Cincinnati. They lost to Pittsburgh. So it's not just that, and it's those little problems that have kind of plagued them all year that have caught up to them. Now, are they trying to not fix them? Are they, because I don't think they completely go away, but have they been able to maybe zero in on some things that they can tweak to help them get over the hump of some of these games and win this division? Because as we've said, these next two games are extremely important for the Tennessee Titans when it comes to winning that division, because you got to have these AFC matchups. The NFC matchups are nice. That helps the record. But these two games here are extremely important for them and their postseason hopes. So,
we used the Seahawks as an example earlier. The teams that can make those small improvements in their weak suits, mask some of the weaknesses, those are the ones that separate and get to the playoffs and feel good about the way they're playing in the playoffs. So this Titans team definitely needs that reinvigorated effort where they get a confidence boost and they start feeling better about the direction they're going. They're going through a slump right now. So is this where it's going to go the rest of the season, or can they right the ship, as you're saying? Let me throw one more stat that I was looking at, Chase, and this is going to play into our pick six. Rushing attempts for Lamar Jackson the last three games, 16 against Pittsburgh, 13 against Indianapolis, 11 against New England. Three straight games with over 10. The previous four games, he didn't hit 10 the entire time. He had 16 carries way back in week two against Houston. But he's run the ball more the last 3 weeks than he has on average. But in those three games, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a 4.1 yards per carry, but you know, last year, you think about some of the games he had, just tearing up the league. He's got over five. He's their leading rusher, right? But last year, he had five games where he rushed for over 100 yards in the game. And his yards per carry by the end of the year was 6.9 yards per carry. Recently, he's not running, or this year, he's down to 5.8, but in the last 3 weeks alone, he's been held around between 4 and 5 yards per carry. This is what I'm looking at for the game on Sunday. Can they do that? You know, he's going to run it some, right? What you don't want to have is the big chunks, right, where he gets a 30-yard run or a 50-yard run where you just he breaks contain and he goes wild. He ran for over 100 against the Titans in the playoffs last year.
He
threw for over 300. So from a fantasy standpoint in terms of yards, he got you a lot of points there. But I think this is what we're talking about with contain, right? Floyd Reese was talking about this. He had 11 carries for 55 yards, but he didn't have anything longer than 11. And they kept him in the pocket, and he threw it 34 times. So that's the most passes, or second most passes he's thrown all year, is 34. And it was really a lot of short stuff. So again, we go back to, what do the Titans do on defense? It's a bend but don't break. And it hasn't worked very well, right? But does the bend but don't break work a little bit better against the Ravens? This is the question that I've thrown out there. I don't know the answer, but I can see it working better.
Well, and I think that's something they need to remember, because you're right. He did run for over 100 and threw for over 300 against them. It's not like the numbers weren't there. They were able to keep them out of the end zone, and they were able to make him make mistakes. If this defense can do that, I mean, you can give them all the yards and stats in the world. It's just, if you're keeping them off the scoreboard like you did before, and that has been the issue, that this team has kind of lost their way, that they might give up the big numbers, but they're keeping the most important numbers out of it, and that's the score. So that's where the confidence has gotten shaky, and I think if they can get a couple of key stops early, you get some of that confidence back. That's going to be the key, and I'm sure that's what they've been talking about all this week. And plus, you know, we keep focusing on the defense, the Titans' defense. The offense has to do their job too, whether it's getting the run game going with Henry, being able to get A.J. Brown, Corey Davis going at the same time. Tannehill makes some plays. I mean, yeah, he threw for 88 yards in the win against Baltimore in the playoffs. Probably going to need a little bit more than that this week. I mean, and I don't expect Henry to run for 200. So I think there has to be more of a balance.
Oh, there's no question. I think they would fully expect that. I think the Ravens I think every team comes in saying, okay, it all starts with Henry. What do we do about Henry? That's the best thing that Arthur Smith has going for him every week. As long as he's got Henry in there, the other team has to spend a ton of time preparing just how they're going to keep Derrick Henry from taking over the game, which he did in the playoff game. But that's the good news for the Titans is, okay, we have the next level of things ready to go. So it's a matter of being able to work off of that. And I just hope they can maintain the standards that they've had all year long, even though this is a really good defense. The biggest question is, as you heard Terry say, is the interior linemen, Williams and Calais Campbell. Are they playing? Are they both out? Might one of them be in there? Is that person going to be playing at less than 100%? Either way, you know, if Henry can do his thing, not saying run for 190, but if he can do his thing and set stuff up, then that bodes well for a team that you feel like is going to have to score a lot of points to win. Right? I mean, you're probably not going to win 17-13 here. You're going to have to score some, because the Ravens are going to score.
They are, but you just have to hope that you can score too. I mean, that's
right.
And there's no reason to believe that the Titans can't. They've shown you that they can. I mean, this is one of the best, like we said, even though they've had a kind of a slump in losses, I mean, this is still one of the best offenses that we've seen, you know, since the Titans have been here. So there's no reason in my mind to think that they're not going to be able to answer that call and be able to put up the points. It's just which defense is going to be able to make the key stop at the right time.
Keep in mind this too, with the Ravens, they're 6-3. They came out and they dominated the first two opponents, Cleveland and Houston. Then they had the mystifying, they got just swamped by the Chiefs, right? It was surprisingly non-competitive. Then they bounce back. They take care of Washington. They take care of Cincinnati. They had a little trouble with Philadelphia, but they win 30-28, and they're cruising along at 5-1. They struggled against Pittsburgh, and that's the game where, other than the Chiefs game, which I think, you know, it's fair to say when they bounce back and win three in a row, maybe not quite as concerned. Maybe it's a blip, even though the offensive numbers in those three games for Lamar Jackson were not great. The game against Pittsburgh was the one where everybody was very concerned with the turnovers. He had a couple of key interceptions at key times. His QBR in that game against the Steelers was only 13.2. And yet they still had a pass towards the end zone on the last play of the game that gets broken up at the goal line. They almost won. Then the following week against Indy, another excellent defense, just like Pittsburgh.
Yep.
They struggled big time in the first half. They cranked it up some in the second half, but it wasn't a juggernaut, but they still get the win against the team that we know, the Colts, you know, very good. And then the game on Sunday. So the last 3 weeks, I think, is where, you know, offensively, they've really started to wonder, why isn't it flowing? Why isn't it happening as easily as it was last year? But is it just the teams they were playing? You know, we'll see if they're due to come back around, or is this a trend that's going to continue throughout the year? The overall feeling of the juggernaut isn't quite there. But I still say, sitting there at 6-3, you saw me, or you heard me earlier this week, I still have them in the power rankings higher than you guys had them. I've got them number 5 overall.
I had them 6, so.
Yeah. So we're still believers.
Yeah.
This is going to take a great effort by the Titans to win.
Yes, but I believed in them because I took them in silly underdog picks, so we'll see. I'm invested now, even more so than I was before, in seeing what happens with the Titans. But, you know, we mentioned the Titans and Nissan Stadium and playoffs and trying to get back to that. It's been since 2008 since a playoff game has been hosted at Nissan Stadium. Well, that all changes tonight because Nashville SC is hosting a playoff game as they take on Miami. You like that? That was good. Today, nice ESPN. thank you. Today, ESPN, the game Nashville, will be out at the Hard Rock Cafe from 6 to 8 to celebrate Nashville SC's first ever MLS Cup playoff match. Stop by Hard Rock as the Nashville SC merch truck will be there with official gear, including everyone in playoff shirts for just $34.99, plus jerseys, hoodies, scarves, and more. You can go to NashvilleSC.com/merch truck for more information. Come to the Hard Rock Cafe downtown and let's all cheer on our soccer club as they make history in Nashville in the MLS Cup playoffs. Go Nashville SC. When we come back.
A little news on that quickly here, Chase. I saw, and I think it was Drake Hills from the Tennessean that put it out there, that there are 3 players for Miami that have tested positive and will not be able to play tonight. So unfortunate for Miami, but.
The best player, too. Not to mention.
Yeah, so if you have details, share it, Elijah. So I think 3 players that all play up front, scoring guys.
One of them, Gonzalo Higuain, who is a who's had a really successful career, a little older, but he's had a pretty successful career overseas and was their prize signing this season, is one of those who will not be playing. So that's big for Miami.
Yeah, that's going to be huge, and Nashville has a great opportunity in this play-in game to try and advance into, I guess, what is officially the first round of the MLS Cup playoffs in their expansion year. Going to be fun tonight for sure, and you can hear all the action on ESPN 102.5 and 94.9, so we'll have it on both for you. When we come back, we'll head up to Knoxville. Blake Topmeyer, who has been breaking a lot of news as of late about the Tennessee Volunteers. He's the beat writer for the Knoxville News Sentinel. He will join us next. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.